Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's consideration is recorded in the letter to the Hebrew, the 9th chapter, verses 13 and 14, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This is our text. What a dramatic difference it was between the killing of the bull that I saw with my own eyes and the slaughter of the lambs that was done by an appointed rabbi. It was one of those few remaining butcher shops in northern Milwaukee where the owner selected out his own beef, and on the appointed day, they were brought up in a truck. And then that 2,000-pound animal, like a belligerent bull at a rodeo being put in his corral, was placed in a corridor where he walked down and got to the end, and in one bang, a bullet went right through his head in a Humane Society-approved form of killing, dropping him to his knees. By contrast, when the rabbi came in there to do the kosher killing, with one slice of the knife, he severed the artery, and all the blood was drained out. The bull had been cleaned and hung with most of its blood within it. The lambs slaughtered with the blood drained out. According to Levitical law, stated in Leviticus 17, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Thus every Jew was forced to observe this. No one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat blood. Blood was for the atoning of sins. God had set up a sacrificial system which remained in place for hundreds of years, where cattle, goats, and sheep were ceremoniously slaughtered, their blood poured out and sprinkled outside of the tabernacle and within, all of it an object lesson in the results of sin, an object lesson in how, if you sin, you must pay the price with your own life. And so in Hebrews 9:22, the writer put it this way, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That's the only way that sins could be removed. And that is why they took the blood so seriously as part of the ceremonial washings and sprinklings that took place. But what great irony when later in Hebrews 10:4, the same writer notes that it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. So here they are engaged in a ceremonial act, a series of ceremonial acts that can never take away sins? Why are they doing it? How insane. Can you imagine how many thousands of animals were slaughtered every single year and the blood thrown away? The carcasses burnt. Crazy. Falsely attributed to Albert Einstein, this famous saying, that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And that's the whole point. You could not expect the forgiveness of sins by that same act. The repeated slaughter of animals in Levitical ceremonies, blood everywhere, was pure insanity because it could never remove sins. And Jews knew that, and God knew it. And that's why he instituted this series of preparatory foreshadowings for a time coming when it would in fact take place. And then one day a year. And today's text is alluding to that day, the Day of Atonement. The high priest offered the blood of a bull, and that one day he was able to go into the Holy of Holies. Being a sinful person only because he had offered blood for his sins, and then he brought the blood of the sacrificed goat for the sins of the people. The other goat, remember the scapegoat, had the sins of the entire people placed upon it symbolically, and then it was led out into the camp, symbolizing that this one was released, allowed to wander free. Obviously, the sinful high priest's actions were repeated, and so this Day of Atonement was not really a Day of Atonement. It happened every single year. And those sacrifices happened every single day. One day out of the year, the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, symbolizing that the sins had been removed from the people. But that was not the case. The blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer in water continually sprinkled to sanctify the people really could not have lasting results. No irrational, soulless creature, amoral, you could say, creature, could pay the price for the sins committed by a moral mankind who had in fact sinned. And the high priest, forced to offer blood, what, for his own sins? He certainly could not step in. There was no human being that could go and take the price because there was no perfect sinful being. And every single one of these animals, remember, was chosen as an unblemished creature. They were as perfect as they could be. And so all of these sacrifices were typological, preparatory, symbolic, pointing forward to the great theatrical foreshadowing of the Creator God. You want to think about creative theater. Think about what God did here. All of this creative foreshadowing going on, pointing forward to the real climax that would come when Jesus Christ came upon the scene. This was a GPS to Christ. That's what all of those sacrifices were. And they were only external. They could never, ever salve a sinful conscience. So as we approach Holy Week next week, we remind ourselves that the Day of Atonement has been called the Good Friday of the Old Testament because it was, in fact, the Day of Atonement in which God did, in fact, send his only begotten Son, his perfect Son, who is called what by John the Baptist? The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And not only was he the sacrifice, he was in fact the high priest, the only human being who could come and offer sacrifices, going into the holy place. And now to this day, he stands on the right hand of God because only he can do it, as a continual reminder that your sins have been taken away. And the text makes it very clear that all those sacrifices are external things. What is it that bothers you when you think about the things that you've done in your life? Is it not your internal conscience, this internal mechanism that reminds us that I did this wrong in the past? Will God ever forgive me? That's our conscience. Notice what this text is reminding us, that when Jesus Christ came, his blood was the only blood that could come and remove the sin that bothers our conscience. It could cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So once and for all, Jesus Christ stopped the insanity of sin. An internal purification, removing our sins and assuring us that Christ's blood removed our own self-induced insanity, which is really what our sins are, and the guilt resolved in the blood of Christ. The writer frames this message then, to conclude, as an argument from the lesser to the greater. If all of the blood externally cleansed God's ancient people, how much more so will the Lamb of God, the very God of the universe who took on human flesh, cleanse you from a guilty conscience? There is no sin that you have committed that Christ has not been removed, because he is God. He is the only one who can do it, and he did it on that one day of atonement. And that, so that one sacrifice continues to prevail, and the high priest, Jesus Christ, remains on the right hand of God, and you can continually go to him in prayer, being reminded that he is daily reminding the Father that your sins are forgiven because of what he did through his blood. So, it's said well in the verse that we're about ready to sing. For thy groaning and thy sighing, for thy bleeding and thy dying, for that last triumphant cry, which what? Allows us to praise thee, Lord, on high. If the Son makes you free, your conscience is free indeed. Amen.